The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. A little bit of power, a little bit of authority, a little bit of strength is always a nice thing to have. Many of us, I'm sure, at times feel powerless, feeling like we have no sort of might or strength in life, maybe lacking some authority with those around us. Maybe you feel this way with the way things have panned out in the political realm of things. I just assume ignore it all myself. And maybe that's a good thing for the rest of us, too. Maybe we feel powerless as we face an uncertain future with our health. Maybe there are doctor tests ahead of us. Maybe there are a prognosis that we are not sure about. Maybe we feel like it would be nice to have a little more authority with what's going on in our life. Maybe we feel a little hopeless, a little powerless with our finances, with our retirement account that is quickly dwindling faster than we ever thought. Maybe we feel powerless or lacking authority with our kids who don't come to church anymore, who don't listen to us, who want nothing to do with us as mothers and fathers today. It would be nice to have a little more say, maybe in their lives, a little more direction to take them away from the places and the people and the things that they've gotten wrapped up in that they shouldn't be. Maybe it would be nice to have a little more power, a little more authority, a little more success even in the church. Maybe it doesn't seem like we have as many people here that we should be having. Maybe it doesn't seem like we're doing such an effective job. Maybe it doesn't seem like people will truly understand everything that we've gathered together around here today with the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension. Many today will look at us as Christians and say, "You have no say. You have no say in the world. You have no say in my life. Your Bible is nothing but a bunch of dead letters. You believe in a dead religion after all. As was famously said many decades ago, God is dead." Powerless, without authority, no meaning whatsoever in people's lives. And then there is the ascension. The ascension where Jesus, what we heard all about today, ascended on high out of the sight of his disciples behind a cloud, going up into the highest of heavens, sitting on the right hand of the Father, with all authority, power, and might given to him in all things, over all things, and with all things. Even though we doubt it, even though we say at times it's not true, it's irrelevant, even though at times we may ourselves look to the Father and say, "Give us a sign. Show us this Jesus." It's so terribly hard to believe in somebody and something you cannot see or touch. It's so terribly hard to believe in someone, just as we sang at the closing stanza of that hymn, someone who is true God and true man, who cannot embrace us. Embrace us in the midst of our fears. Embrace us in the midst of our powerless feelings. Embrace us in the midst of our doubts and our wanderings all throughout life. And yet, in the midst of all of these things, as we will say in just a few moments in the Creed, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. It may seem like there is no power, no authority, no Jesus right by your side helping, mending things, picking up all of the broken pieces, calming the fears and the doubts that we have. But without Jesus ascending, we would be powerless and with one who has no authority. Without Jesus ascending to the right hand of the Father, we probably would not even be here today. Most of the world would still be struggling with the whole message of Christianity, far more so than what it is today. Luther famously says that because Jesus has now ascended into heaven, God is now more present in the world than he ever has been before. With the work of his Holy Spirit, with the sending out of the preaching of the gospel. And what is that gospel, by the way? The preaching of the forgiveness of sins, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and life and salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, given for you, given for all. And the ascension isn't simply Jesus seated at the right hand, way far away in a place that he's not located. The ascension is not about Jesus saying, look at me, I'm up here, seated in a throne, hovering over all the cosmos, looking down on you little people, running around like a bunch of ants, not knowing what you're doing. The ascension is about God going to the greatest heights of glory, but also true man in Jesus going to those great heights, so that where he is, you may be also. The ascension is not about Jesus and him located someplace looking far down onto us. The ascension is all for you and for me. Everything that he has done in his life, his death, his resurrection, we know that that is all for us, for our salvation. And the ascension is the capstone to all of this. It is the reality that you and I do not live for this world. We do not live for the relationships that are broken in our lives. We do not live for the body that is falling apart, that is one step closer to the grave than yesterday. We do not live for our finances or all of our stuff, all of the things that we gather together that fall apart, that die, and that rust and moths destroy. We live for an ascended Savior and King. That's what is so important about the ascension. Jesus now ascends because he is the first one who came down from heaven. He did not come to simply meet us halfway, but to raise us up out of the very depths of our sin and our death, because that's all that we know is sin and death. He must become one of us to raise us and to promise that because he has ascended, we too shall ascend to the greatest heights of God's glory and be seated in his presence and look upon him in the fullness of his glory and not die, but live eternally. He didn't come to demand obedience and perfection. He didn't come demanding a life of servitude and slavery to him. He didn't come to simply remind you of how much you have fallen, doubted, feared, or how badly your body is in shape. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He came to join you in the doubts, the despair, and the depths of sin, hatred, anger, and death, so that he may put all of those things away by his cross, and so that you may join him in the greatest heights of his glory. Jesus' ascension was not a job well done for him. The ascension is for you, for me. For in Jesus, man is restored to the fullness of glory that Adam and Eve had before their fall. In Jesus, once again, mankind has dominion over all creation, authority and power and might. Not in physical strength, not in monetary strength, but power and might with the life-giving word on our lips. The life-giving message that the fall of us has been reversed. In Jesus, we are no longer in the depths, but we are now seated at the right hand of God the Father, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, with all things under his feet. That's why the disciples were filled with joy when Jesus departed from them. You would think that watching their friend, their Savior, depart from them would be an occasion for sadness, but it is the opposite. Jesus, in his ascension, completes all of his work for you. They saw him returning to his rightful place. They saw the dominion and the life stolen by the devil, and Jesus takes it back again for you. They knew everything was different. In Jesus, everything is right again. And that is what it is for you and for me today, for those of us who have been baptized into Christ. To be sure, the devil doesn't want you to believe this. He wants to take all power, authority, and dominion from you. He says, you being triumphant over death and the devil, no way. He reminds us that we are the same sorry people that we were yesterday and will be tomorrow. You're a let-down, good, pious Christian who keeps falling and falling, he says. He will seek to blind you in the truth. But the truth is that you have the victory in Christ. Because he has ascended in triumph, you do as well. The truth is that all things that Jesus has done are for you. That he now ascends in triumph and promised us the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to open our minds, to see the truth. Or as Paul tells us, to enlighten the eyes of your hearts, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Go back and read that again this week, over and over. Paul's letter that he writes there is packed with authority and power and might. It is all the power and authority and might of Christ over all things in your life, over the pain, over the suffering, over the fears. He is in control. He has all authority. He has all power. Over the worry of riches, over the worry of retirement, over the worry of our day-to-day lives, he is in control. He has all power, all authority, all might. Over the impending grave waiting to swallow us up, he has all power, authority, and might. The grave has no victory over him, and therefore it has no victory over you as well. Be not deceived. It is all true. All creation praises God for his ascension, but his ascension is squared solely on you. You and I have all power, authority, and might in Christ. You are greater than all the animals, all the angels. You are recreated in God's image through your baptism. And so what does this all mean now for you? It simply means that no matter what you face in the fallen world, where animals kill and destroy, and where mankind is seemingly going off the rails every day, Christ has restored us, not to an earthly kingdom, but to paradise. All because he is ascended. And because he is ascended, he now continues to speak and intercede on your behalf. He speaks to you the restoring, life-giving words that you heard a few moments ago. I forgive you all your sins. And even more so, he is not simply seated in a far-off place. He is seated here at the altar, where he is here to give you his body and blood, becoming one with you, to forgive and to strengthen you in body and soul, so that you may look upon all things and simply say of this life, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. The disciples didn't stand gazing up into heaven, asking where authority, power, and might would be. We don't stand here today gazing up, wondering where in the world God is in all things. He is now here through his word, through his promises, attaching himself to water, to bread, and to wine, bringing all the power, authority, and might of God into your midst, and beckoning you to receive him once again this day. He has ascended for you, and he is ruling every circumstance in your life, no matter what is happening, so that even through hardship, heartache, problems, or pains, no matter what it is, he is greater than all of these things. All things are under his care. He will see you from this life to his life, which has no end. For that day will be the day when he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead with all power, might, and authority, but not to look down or frown upon you, but to simply say to you, come and receive the inheritance prepared for you since the foundation of the world. You have all power, all might, and all authority because Christ is ascended for you. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith.